When you think about those really intense moments, crisis situations, especially with law enforcement or maybe mental health pros involved, it's so clear how much every single interaction counts.
Absolutely. The way we talk, the way we understand things, it can really be the difference maker, can it? Between things calming down or just spiraling.
Right. So what if there was a better way, a framework maybe built on how we, actually think and relate to each other?
Well, that's exactly what we're digging into today. We're doing a deep dive on something called the STARS matrix.
STARS.
Yeah, it was created by Dr. Steven Gonzalez. He's a behavior analyst. And the whole idea is to give people, especially those first responders, a more effective and more humane way to handle these crises.
Okay, STARS. And I'm guessing it's not just some abstract idea. It's based on solid psychology.
Oh, definitely. It draws heavily on relational frame theory, RFT. That's work pioneered by Dr. Stephen Hayes.
RFT, right. I've heard of that. It's about language and how we connect ideas.
Exactly. How we learn to relate different things through language and how those connections, those frames, drive our thoughts and actions. Dr. Gonzalez basically took those RFT insights and applied them directly to crisis intervention.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So the power of language, how our minds build these webs of meaning. And today, our mission is really to unpack STARS, right? Letter by letter, and see how RFT fits in, especially for law enforcement and mental health teams in the field.
That's the plan. And one really key thing to get right away, this isn't like a rigid step-by-step checklist.
Okay.
It's fluid. You kind of move between the parts depending on how the situation is unfolding, adapting to the person, and what's happening right then and there.
So dynamic, responsive. Not one size fits all. And I remember reading it, it also accounts for the fact that crises aren't all the same intensity, like different levels.
Exactly right. The STARS matrix specifically considers five different levels of aggression.
Five levels. Okay.
Yeah, so the strategies get tailored, from someone just being agitated all the way up to extreme, actively harmful behavior.
Makes sense.
And it's worth mentioning, too, for professionals in these roles, there are actually multiple levels of certification available for STARS training. Shows a real commitment to getting these skills down pat.
Good to know.
But the bottom line, the main goal is always reducing those escalations and getting to a safe resolution.
Okay, let's jump into it then. STARS. The first letter, S. It stands for Start the Conversation Through RFT. What does that actually look like, say, for an officer making that first contact?
Right, so that S is all about those first few critical moments. It's about using language that's deliberately informed by RFT right from the start. The big aim, establish psychological safety immediately.
Psychological safety.
Yes,
Yeah,
right.
because someone in crisis is already feeling threatened, maybe misunderstood.
Exactly. They're distressed. So if your first words feel judgmental or like you're just there to assert power, you risk making everything worse.
So those initial language choices are huge. They set up these cognitive frames, you said, ways of seeing the situation.
Precisely. Your words are like cues. They can either open the door to cooperation or, slam it shut by triggering frames of threat or judgment. Using neutral, non-threatening language helps activate frames of safety, maybe understanding.
So less about demands, more about acknowledging where they are without judging it.
Yes, exactly. STARS has specific greeting protocols for this. Things designed to acknowledge their perspective, even if you don't get why yet, and set up a shared context, not just an authority dynamic. The message needs to be, I'm here to understand, not I'm taking over.
And it's not just the words, is it? It's the whole scene, the environment. Who else is there?
Oh, absolutely. Context is king. RFT calls it contextual control. The same sentence can land totally differently in public versus private, day versus night, or if, say, there are signs of past trauma.
Yeah, I can see that. Especially for police responding to calls in all sorts of places. Someone with bad past experiences might react defensively, no matter how nice the officer tries to be initially.
Right. So that S started the conversation is about being super aware of all that context and actively trying to build frames of cooperation from word one, using language and even your body language to signal, I'm not an adversary.
It's a subtle shift then.
Yeah.
Reframing the officer or the mental health pro from just authority figure to something else.
Yeah, reframing them as maybe an ally or at least someone focused on the shared goal of safety, using perspective-taking language right away, showing you're trying to see their side, and sometimes establishing what RFT calls hierarchical frames, positioning yourself as a resource, someone who can help navigate towards safety.
Okay, that covers S.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Let's move to T. Take their perspective. Using deictic frames. Now, deictic frames, that sounds a bit technical. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, it's an RFT term. The T focuses on using these specific perspective-taking tools called deictic frames. They're basically the fundamental ways we orient ourselves based on our position relative to others, places, and time. The main ones are I, you, here, there, and now, then. Think of them as like the building blocks of our personal viewpoint.
I, you, here, there, now, then. So understanding things from different angles, who's involved, where it's happening, when it's happening.
Spot on. Because people in crisis often get tunnel vision, right? Stuck in their own immediate viewpoint. Deictic framing helps gently nudge them to see other angles.
Okay, let's break those down. The IU frame. How would an officer use that?
So IU helps them see things from your perspective or maybe others involved. If someone says, nobody listens to me, an IU response could be, well, I'm listening right now and I really want to understand.
Ah, direct counter, but validating. Okay.
It directly addresses that feeling, but grounds it in the present interaction.
Got it. What about here, there? Shifting the location perspective.
Right. Imagine someone's barricaded inside. They're focused only on here, inside the room. A here, there approach might involve gently mentioning their worried family waiting there, outside. Shifting focus from here to there.
Expanding their awareness beyond the immediate room. Okay. And now then, time perspective.
Crucial one. It helps distinguish the intense now from the then past experiences or future possibilities. Someone might feel totally overwhelmed now, like it's always been this way, always will be.
Yeah, that feeling of permanence in crisis.
Exactly. So, gently reminding them of a then, a time they did calm down, or pointing towards a future then after this moment passes, uses that now then frame. It breaks that feeling of being stuck.
Offering hope, maybe. Or reminding them of resilience without dismissing the now. Tricky balance.
Very. It's validating the present pain while gently widening that time lens. Not get over it, but maybe this feels awful now and I know you've handled tough times then, or let's get through now safely and then we can figure out next steps.
Right. And using these frames effectively means really listening, doesn't it? Paying attention to words, but also body language.
Absolutely. That T also stresses reading verbal and nonverbal cues to grasp their perspective. Verbal things like, are they using absolutes always? Never. How do they talk about time? What's their emotional tone?
And nonverbally, what cues are important?
Oh, lots. Proxemics, are they moving closer or backing away? That tells you about their frame of safety or threat. Physiological signs, breathing changes, flushing, trembling, suggest a stress, aversive networks firing, even gestures, crossed arms, eye contact, or lack thereof, it all communicates how they're relating to you and the situation.
So it's holistic, not just hearing words, but active listening through that RST lens, trying to spot the underlying relational networks driving things.
Exactly. It's much deeper than just surface listening. It's trying to understand the framework within which what they're saying makes sense to them.
Okay. S is start, T is take perspective. Now A, adjust their thinking using RFT. How is this different from, say, standard cognitive reframing?
Good question. A is about reframing, but specifically using these RFT relational network principles. A big part is creating hierarchical framing.
Hierarchical framing.
Yeah, helping the person prioritize their core values over their immediate intense emotions.
Values over emotions. Interesting. How does that work in a crisis?
Well, in a crisis, emotions can totally hijack things, right? Leading to impulsive actions that don't align with what the person really values long term. Hierarchical framing connects the immediate situation to those deeper values.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Say someone is threatening self-harm. An officer might connect cooperating with them, getting help, to the person's value of being a good parent, suggesting, you know, working through this safely aligns better with that value than acting on the immediate distress.
Ah, elevating their focus beyond the immediate storm to something more meaningful to them.
Exactly. Another piece of A is breaking down automatic relational responses, those rigid, inflexible ways of relating things that fuel escalation. You know, relational rigidity or kind of all or nothing thinking.
We all probably recognize that kind of thinking under stress. How do you break it down in the moment?
RFT has techniques, often called diffusion techniques. They help create psychological distance from those rigid thoughts.
Diffusion.
Yeah.
So not arguing with a thought, but...
But helping them see it as a thought, not absolute reality dictating action, just noticing it rather than being completely tangled up in it.
Creating space between thought and reaction.
How? Simple things like verbally labeling it, I notice you're having the thought that, or using metaphors, which we'll get to. It just creates that little bit of wiggle room, lets them observe the thought instead of being swept away by it.
Okay, so A is about reframing via values and creating distance from rigid thoughts. Next is R, redirect with metaphor using RFT. Metaphors are powerful. How does RFT explain why they work in crisis?
RFT gives us a scientific angle.
Right.
It's about the transformation of stimulus functions.
Okay.
Meaning the psychological properties of one thing, the source, say, a river get transferred to the target, say, their anxiety through those relational frames we build with language.
So if you say your worry is like a river, the flow, the power associated with rivers gets linked to their feeling of worry.
Precisely. And RFT points out this transfer is context sensitive. How you say it, when you say it, matters. And it can be bidirectional. The metaphor might even subtly change how they relate to the source, the river, later on.
That's quite nuanced.
Yeah.
So how does an officer or clinician actually create a useful metaphor on the fly, targeting those tricky relational frames?
Well, first step is trying to identify the problematic frame. Is it rigid thinking? Is it opposition? Overwhelm. Once you have a sense of that, you pick a source domain, clouds, a bridge, whatever, that has psychological properties that might offer a new perspective on their situation.
Could you give examples for those different aggression levels we talked about?
Sure. For low-level stuff, maybe anxiety, you want validation, flexibility. So maybe thoughts are like clouds passing by, you can just watch them. Or this feeling's like a sudden rain shower, uncomfortable but temporary, gentle, normalizing.
Okay, that feels manageable. What about medium intensity? Escalating tension.
Then metaphors need to acknowledge the intensity but create distance from impulsive acts. Like, this feels like driving on ice, slamming the brakes isn't always best. Sometimes gentle steering works better. Or your anger is like a guard dog trying to protect you, but we need to make sure it doesn't bite the helpers.
I like that guard dog one. Reframes the anger. And for high aggression. Full crisis.
Volatility, yeah. Metaphors need to be quick, vivid, interrupt the pattern. Maybe feels like we're on a cracking bridge. We both need to move carefully together to safety. Or this is a fork in the road. One path has bad consequences we both want to avoid. Let's find the other path.
Very direct. Shared risk, need for change. It really sounds like the skill is choosing the right metaphor for that person that moment and delivering it well.
Absolutely. Timing, tone, body language, it all affects whether it lands and helps shift perspective. It has to feel genuine.
Okay, brings us to the final S, safe resolution through RFT.
Mm.
How does RFT guide bringing things to a peaceful end?
The last S is about actively building and reinforcing cooperation frames for that resolution. Using bidirectional language, we together, constantly reinforcing that shared effort. Moving away from any us versus them vibe towards let's solve this together safely.
Keep emphasizing shared goals, joint effort. Makes sense.
Exactly. Another technique here is frame bridging.
Frame bridging.
Yes, skillfully connecting the person's needs or wants with the necessary procedures for safety. So if they desperately want to stay home but need an evaluation for safety,
mm-hmm.
Frame bridging means explaining how that evaluation actually helps them achieve their goal of staying home, maybe by getting the right support.
So showing how the obstacle is actually the path to their goal. Clever.
It can be. Temporal framing is still key to helping them focus beyond the immediate crisis towards future outcomes, seeing past the now, and maybe using deictic projection.
Which is?
Gently guiding them to think about their future self with compassion. What would that future self need or want right now for safety and well-being?
Wow, that's powerful. Motivating them towards a longer-term view. And I guess how this all gets documented matters too, through that RFT lens.
Big time. RFT-informed documentation isn't just about listing behaviors. It's about noting the relational frames observed, the RFT techniques used to shift them, and how the person responded. That detail is gold for future interventions and understanding what works.
Right. Now, linking this back to those five aggression levels,
mm-hmm.
low, moderate, tactical, extreme, how do these RFT techniques integrate? Do the verbal approaches change? Team coordination.
Definitely. SDRS maps it out. Low aggression. It's conversational, rapport building, minimal backup. Moderate. Calmer. More validation. Maybe a secondary negotiator visible.
Mm-hmm.
Tactical level risk is higher communication, gets direct, clear commands. Tactical team present with roles defined.
And extreme.
Extreme active harm. Communication is very direct, safety focused, maybe minimal talking, as the priority becomes immediate physical safety, full tactical response.
So the specific RFT tools change based on the level.
Exactly. Low level, you might use complex deictic framing to build perspective. Higher levels, cognitive load is high, so you shift to simpler coordination frames, clear consequences. Hierarchical safety framing becomes absolutely key.
Prioritizing safety above all else.
Absolutely. And critically remember, it's fluid. As aggression shifts, up or down, the team dynamically adapts their RFT strategies in real time.
So STARS, grounded in RFT, seems like a really comprehensive, adaptable toolkit for law enforcement, for mental health teams, really anyone navigating these tough situations.
It is. It's about understanding how we relate through language and using that understanding strategically to de-escalate and find safe outcomes.
The ultimate goal being fewer escalations, better, more humane results.
Precisely. For everyone involved, the person in crisis and the responders. And like we said, the different certification levels show a real push for effective training and implementation.
It really underscores how understanding these sometimes subtle relational frames can make such a huge difference in high-stakes interactions. It's not just words, it's the psychology behind them.
It really is, and it makes you wonder, doesn't it? If we got better at understanding how we relate to our thoughts and how others see things, how could that change how we handle conflict and crisis in all parts of our lives, way beyond these professional settings?
That's a powerful thought to end on. How understanding these frames could transform conflict navigation everywhere. Really fascinating stuff.